looking at our world from a theological perspective. This is the Theology Central Podcast, making theology central.
Good afternoon, everyone. It is Monday, March the 4th, 2024. It is currently 1:39 p.m. Central Time, and I am coming to you live from the Theology Central studio located right here in Abilene, Texas. Now, we need to talk about some breaking news. And this is one of those news items that it's going to be somewhat predictable how most Christian websites, Christian podcasts, and pastors will discuss the story. They're going to be like, this is horrible, this is evil, this will bring down the judgment of God, and they're going to approach it from that perspective. And that's perfectly okay, perfectly fine. Not here to, you know, say anything negative about that, but there'll be a pretty standard way in which this story will be discussed. And I'm going to try to approach it from a different perspective. And when I do that, people will immediately get frustrated or get upset because they will tell me, no, this is what you're supposed to say. But if there's 2 million Christian podcasts out there, they're all basically saying the same thing the same way. What's the point? Sometimes this is what I get. If you've ever, you should do this just one day, look in your local area for your, you know, talk radio station, right? And start listening at around 8 in the morning, 7 in the morning, 8 in the morning, 9 in the morning. Go to about 5 or 6 in the afternoon. I don't care who, I don't care if it's Ben Shapiro, Glenn Beck, Mark Levin, Sean Hannity. You just name all of the conservative talk show hosts on talk radio. And sometimes it can be frustrating because they'll talk basically about the exact same stories the exact same way. It's almost like, okay, they just talked about this. Well, the other person's going to say, and you know what's going to be said. And sometimes it's like, no, there can be no variation or variety in thought. There can't be a unique take on what's going on. So I'm going to try to offer a unique take because I believe that if we take the standard approach, we're missing the real story. So first, let's get to the story, and then I'll kind of walk through this. So hopefully you're ready, and here we go. All right, this is breaking news. I started seeing it show up all over my iPad probably maybe an hour ago, 45 minutes ago. So when I say breaking news, it's not breaking news like up to the minute, but it's been within the last couple of hours. If you have news alerts on your mobile device, phone, or tablet, I'm assuming you have seen the breaking news because it's all over the place. Here is the headline from the Associated Press. Abortion is enshrined as a constitutional right in France after lawmakers approve an amendment. Let's listen to the headline one more time. Abortion is enshrined as a constitutional right in France after lawmakers approve an amendment. Now, you know immediately that Christian websites and conservative websites are going to be like, this is horrible. And I understand that. But I think there's a deeper point that needs to be made. Here's the first paragraph of the story. And according to this, this is from the Associated Press News app. They posted this 1 hour ago. So that's pretty close to the time I started seeing all of the notifications. In fact, I'm getting notifications from different podcasts right now. All right, here we go. French lawmakers on Monday overwhelmingly approved a bill that will enshrine a woman's right to an abortion in France's constitution, a historic move designed to prevent the kind of rollback of abortion rights seen in the United States in recent years. All right. Abortion enjoys wide support in France across most of the political spectrum and has been legal since 1975. Please note that abortion enjoys wide support in France across most of the political spectrum and has been legal since 1975. Now, what do I think we should focus on? Well, this is what I think we should focus on. Are you ready for this? Whether we like it or whether we don't. Morality, let's state it that way, morality right and wrong will ultimately be decided by the people within that society. Now you gotta hear what I'm saying. When we're talking life, we're talking practical life, everyday life. Morality is ultimately, right and wrong is going to be determined by the people who live within that society. Meaning it can fluctuate. It can be like, well, this is right. No. Now that is absolutely wrong. And then it could switch back 10, 20 years. No. When you said it was wrong, you were wrong. It was actually right. The people in society are the ones who ultimately make that decision. Now, when we look at it from a theological perspective, when we stand back, we would say God ultimately makes the decision of what's right and wrong. We understand that. But if people in society reject God, reject his morality, or reject your interpretation of the morality which he put in the Bible, it's not gonna ultimately matter. The people in society will determine. And so sometimes this will be illegal and acceptable, and then 20, 30, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years will be like, how dare you? Why would anyone ever think that was okay? It is constantly changing. And I think this is something very important, because this is where I believe the church should spend its time and its focus. So many times what the church finds itself in these societal, cultural wars, and it becomes a political battle. So what Christians decide to do is like, look at society. There's abortion, or there's gay marriage, or there's pornography, or whatever it is that we are upset about, that we may believe from a theological perspective is wrong, or that it's immoral. So what the church will do sometimes is say, okay, what we have to do is we have to fight this, and we have to fix this. So what we will try to do is gain political power and influence, utilize that political power and influence to make a law against, to ban, to silence, to remove, to prevent, to prohibit, whatever the case may be. And then we'll be like, we're doing this for God. We're winning the battle. And I think you missed the point. You can enforce, you can pass law, you can do all of that. But if the hearts of the people, if the minds and hearts of the people within that society are not changed, all you're doing is imposing something upon them until they can then get the political power, they can get the position, and then they will throw off, they will cast off your chains, they will cast off your ban, they will cast off your laws and rewrite new ones. They will amend the Constitution, they will do whatever they want to ultimately get what they want. And I think that what we do so many times is we fight these battles the wrong way. Like, oh, no, we got to change this. We got to change this. We need to do this. We need to do that. And I was like, no. What you need to do is be going to every individual and then just look at it just from a purely theological perspective. What they need is evangelism. They need to then change their mind about God and about sin, put their faith in Jesus Christ, and then they are to be taught the scriptures and that this is what God says is right and wrong. And then because they are saved, because they've been set free from the condemnation of their sin, hopefully out of gratitude and a heart of love, they will then want to pursue and seek that morality. But we sometimes want to get involved in so many times you'll hear Christians arguing with someone about abortion. Well, the Bible says it is murder. Well, why are you telling a lost person what the Bible says? They don't care. So instead of trying to use the Bible to argue with someone that somehow then they'll change their mind about abortion, no. Forget arguing abortion. What you need to do is figure out where that person is spiritually. And then present the gospel. And then after salvation has occurred, then you start discipleship where they begin to learn biblical morality. We sometimes want to say, this is what the Bible says. Okay, now let's go change society and make them do it. And it doesn't work, because sooner or later society will rise up and go, no. You're not going to enforce that on me. No, you're not going to do that. You can go to Boston, Salem, anywhere in that region of the world. Go back and study the history when many of those places were Puritan strongholds, where things like Christmas was prohibited and this was outlawed and this is, or they were killing innocent people for being witches. Whatever the case may be, they were doing all of these things. And now go there. It doesn't look anything like that. It doesn't look anything like that. It's complete. It's the opposite of. Because you can try to do those things by force. You can ban. You can prohibit. You can pass laws. You can try to make someone. But if you don't win the hearts and minds, then they will just simply rise up and throw you out. They will throw off your rules and regulations. They will not submit to it. We've got too much history to demonstrate this. When the United States of America, because in many cases, very much motivated by a lot of religious perspective, wanted to, well, forbid and prohibit the sale of alcohol. How did that work out? How did that work out? The church sometimes wants to get into this, like, we're the world's police, and look, you may not know right and wrong, but we know right and wrong, and we're going to impose what we believe to be right and wrong upon you, and then you are to follow it. That's a losing proposition. First, whatever we believe to be right and wrong, we can seek to live that out first and foremost. Right? We can seek to live it out, and we have enough trouble doing that ourselves. Then not only can we live it out, hopefully if we lived it out, then the world would look and go, man, their lives are so much better. Their marriages are stronger. They're happier. You'd think that they would see some of it. Now maybe we could get into a whole discussion about that, but they should see the benefit of what we pursue, right? Hopefully that would happen. Yeah, we could get into a long discussion about that. Right? We could have a long conversation about that. And then what we should seek to do is then teach and evangelize and preach. That's the Great Commission is never to go and try to impose rules and laws upon the unregenerate. The Great Commission is to go and teach them, baptizing them. So you teach, that's evangelism, baptize, that's bringing into the church. And then you are to teach again. And then that is the discipleship. And then in discipleship, well, in fact, if you look at this text of scripture itself, let me reach down and grab my Bible. I know this is like standard, like, you know, Christianity 101, but it's been so lost it's been so lost that I don't know sometimes what we have to do to get it back. But just look at exactly how it's laid out. Matthew 28:19. Go therefore teach all nations, baptizing them. So that's evangelism, baptizing, bringing them into the church in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things. You don't teach them to observe before evangelism. You don't teach them to observe before baptism. The teaching them to observe comes after the evangelism and being brought into the church. Then you do the discipleship. We want to go impose things on people, whether they're a Christian or not a Christian. And we want to tell them, well, the Bible says Jesus is against it. God is against it. Now, you want to tell them God is against it if you're trying to show them their sin so that then they will understand their need for a Savior. But you're not to do that to try to win some kind of argument. They reject your basis of morality. You can sit there and tell them all day, well, this is wrong because of this, and this is wrong because of this. They don't accept your authority. They don't accept what you're holding out as the reason they have to believe it. And so many times Christians will argue these things, and it's so weird the way Christians argue. It's like we're getting it completely backwards. Today, France has said abortion is a constitutional right. We can yell against it. We can scream against it. But what we should stop and do is like, wait a minute. Why is it that so many people in France support it? Why is it that if you really start digging into many polls, so many Americans support it? That's the issue. That's the issue. Now, you can try to go, I don't care if they support it. We're going to take away their right. Well, you can try to take away their right, but all it takes is for enough of them to want that right. They're going to get it. You can try to fight against it. Now, you should say, well, are you saying we shouldn't have laws to stop, you know, crime? I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the church's job, is not to fight these culture wars so that we can get political power to enforce things. The church's job is to proclaim God's word, show them their sin, point them to the Savior, and then teach them to listen to their Savior. They need to see their sin, they need to see there's a Savior, and once they believe in that Savior, then they need to be taught to listen and pursue what He has to say, and to think in accordance with His thinking. Now, once you do that, if you get a majority of people changing their views, you don't need to make laws and for certain things, right? If Christians come to the conclusion that, you know what, we should not look at pornography. Well, you don't need laws against it, because if everyone is slowly becoming a Christian, their market share will decrease and decrease and decrease and decrease until it's no longer profitable to spend the time, effort, and money to produce it. That's how it should work. That should be the Christian focus. Now, how society should work, you can make a societal argument if you want. But I'm just saying, as Christians, we need to see the deeper picture. We tend to look at the surface level. Okay, we need to stop that. We need to stop that. And we're trying to fight it. But I think, in a sense, we're trying to fight spiritual wars with fleshly means and fleshly perspective. The deeper perspective is, why is it that so many people accept this idea? Or this idea, or this idea, or this idea. And many times Christians think the way to fix that idea is by some kind of force. No. We have to figure out why, where did we lose the battle? And promoting the biblical perspective. Now, first, promoting the biblical perspective is of no value if they're not saved. Promoting a biblical perspective to an unsaved person is ridiculous. Well, instead of arguing, you go, whoa, wait a minute. I think we're coming at this from two different perspectives. So let me ask you, where do you feel you are spiritually? And where do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as a Christian? Do you see yourself as a follower of Jesus Christ? Because if you do, then you know what? Let's not argue. Let's spend some time studying the Bible on this matter and see what we can discover. And if they're not a Christian, then why are you trying to make them act like one? This is the thing when a lot of Christians have been running around celebrating certain victories in regards to abortion in the United States of America. And I said, you just better wait. Maybe it's going to be a temporary victory and for every life saved. That is a good thing. But I'm telling you, you're missing the bigger point, which is you can pass all the rules and constitutional things. You can do everything you want. Sooner or later, the people will rise up. And what are we seeing? Now there's the push for some of the drug companies, drug stores, like Walgreens and others, to sell the abortion drug in certain states without a prescription. There's other companies trying to say, okay, well, you can't have an abortion here as part of you working for this company. If you ever need an abortion, we'll pay for your transportation to go to another state. There's all kinds of issues like that happening because there's going to be a large number of people who reject that. And then over time, it could start showing up that, certain politicians are going to be losing elections because people are going to be like, okay, then we're going to get the people back in power that's going to bring back this right that we believe everyone should have. To me, this is a bigger issue about how Christians approach cultural, societal issues. And I believe whatever temporary victory you may obtain, you may want to celebrate that victory. You may want to be happy for it. But in the long run, unless people are changed, the change you enforced will be the change they throw out. And then it's just a never-ending struggle and fight. And I say we let society play that out. Well, we step back and try to look at it from a different perspective. That's all I am saying. Society is changing rapidly. We're in a post-Christian society. They reject even the leftovers, even the residual effects of Christianity from the past. They are rejecting it outright. They're rejecting it in forms of sexuality, sexual preference, gender identity. They're rejecting anything that Christianity has to say about any of this. They do not want it. And so you can try to fight it politically. You can say, we need to get God back in America. We need to get God back. And that's what many Christians are doing. They're like, we're in a moral free-for-all. This is the end. We've got to do something. And like, we're going to put God back in the center. How, you're going to, by force? How about this? Instead of trying to force it, you just some novel ideas. You do realize you pay all that money for that church building. You could open it up 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You could announce to your town. You could announce to your city. You could announce to your village that you're going to be conducting services Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You're going to have an early morning service for people who may be on their way to work if they want church. You're going to do one in the middle of the day where they could have a lunchtime service. You're going to do one in the evening, and you're going to do prayer meetings around the clock. You could do everything you could. You could announce the sermon series, teaching series. You could just go full. But no. Instead of putting all that focus, look how much money. Sometimes I am utterly dumbfounded by this fact. Look at how much money can be spent trying to get politicians elected. You start doing a little research today about how much money has already been raised and spent for the election coming up. You'll be dumbfounded. That much money, and a lot of that money may be coming from who knows, but I'm just saying all that, if Christians gave that money to support ministry, where then ministry could be spending 24/7 doing everything in its power to minister, preach, teach, pray, disciple, I that's where we're supposed to be. But I think our focus becomes political and cultural. We get mad because Target is selling something we don't like. Well, they're targeting the children. A lot of children aren't driving to Target. So that means they're with a parent. If a parent wants to buy that for their child, they can. We're arguing over books and libraries. And like, kids go to libraries much anymore? Like, we get so distracted by these things. And while we're distracted by all of this, guess what falls to the wayside? The proclamation of the gospel, preaching, teaching, discipleship. And society moves further and further and further and further and further away from a biblical worldview. And as they move further and further away from a biblical worldview, then it's going to be demonstrated in what they desire and want in a society. And they're going to ultimately shape society in their image. Now, Christians want to reshape society. Now, we would never say it's in our image. We would always claim that we want to reshape society in the image of Christ. But if you want to reshape society in the image of Christ, then it starts with individuals being conformed to the image of Christ. And that is through salvation and discipleship. That is not through Republicans and politics and winning elections. France is just simply demonstrating what the people want. Now, I don't know. We may be years away. But I strongly, based on our current trajectory, I think what you will see is increasing amount of pushback against states and areas that try to restrict abortion. And you're going to see an increase in access to abortion and abortion rights in other places. And then there's going to become more and more groups and things that rise up that will try to help people if they're in a place that doesn't allow it to get them to a place that does. And we're going to fight. We're going to put all of this effort and time in fighting. And while we're fighting that, people will be moving further and further and further away from a Christian worldview, because they're not Christian. We become a post-Christian nation with post-Christian thinking. And you don't fix that by imposing Christian thinking. You try to fix that by confronting the thinking with the truth of Scripture. And if you want the society to be conformed to the image of Christ, then it goes to individuals being saved and being conformed to the image of Christ by, well, the renewing of their minds. So what do you think about this ruling today in France? So let me give you the breaking news one more time. I'm getting more notifications about this literally by the second here. All right, just from the Associated Press, this was published a little over an hour ago. Abortion is enshrined as a constitutional right in France after lawmakers approve an amendment. French lawmakers on Monday overwhelmingly approved a bill that will enshrine a woman's right to an abortion in France's constitution, a historic move designed to prevent the kind of rollback of abortion rights seen in the United States in recent years. Abortion enjoys wide support in France across most of the political spectrum and has been legal since 1975. I think what you need to take from that today is this. Society, the people in society, are going to be the ones who determine ultimately what's right, what's wrong, what's moral, what's immoral. And as Christians, we can say, no. God determines, and I'm all for you. I'm all for that. God does determine ultimately what's wrong and right. But as it's played out in society, the people will decide. Now, you as Christians can try to fight society by trying to impose the Christian morality upon them. And I will tell you, it's a losing cause. It's a losing proposition. It's vanity of vanities. It's meaningless, meaningless, meaningless. What you want to do is share the gospel, bring them into the church, then teach them to obey. The teaching to obey comes after conversion. It doesn't come by passing laws to force them to obey. The internal heart and mind must be changed in their thinking about what's right and about what's wrong. That comes from salvation. In salvation, we change our mind about right and wrong and about sin and about God. And then out of gratitude for what God has done for us, then we should pursue it. Israel had great laws imposed upon them, and they rebelled and rebelled and rebelled and rebelled and rebelled and rebelled and rebelled, because external law does not change the inward man. All right, you can email me your thoughts, newsif@yahoo.com. That's newsif@yahoo.com. newsif@yahoo.com. I wanted you to bring this breaking news and try to offer at least somewhat of a slightly different perspective. Hopefully you will understand it. Many of you will misinterpret what I am saying, but I think I've tried to make it very clear, being a little bit repetitive. But hopefully you will give this serious thought. And maybe it will, instead of looking at what we can get politics to accomplish, we start focusing on what we can do as individual Christians and what our churches could be doing. All right. Thanks for listening. God bless.